You're listening to Radio DePaul. I'm Connor Mudd, and this is Tom Talks.
Hello, and welcome to Tom Talks, the talk show where we totally talk Tom Cruise. This is our Tropic Thunder episode, and with me today is a very special guest. He has over 1,000 freckles, he's lived in over 15 houses, and he may or may not have adopted a baby ocelot. Welcome to my show, Jonathan Montgomery Westendorf. Monty, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's warm today, which is nice. Not that I'm one of those people that talks about the weather when I don't know what to talk about, but...
Oh, no, we talk about the weather always on this show, which, you know, for the listeners on Spotify, is very confusing because this airs on Spotify like weeks later. So it's a little confusing to them, but, you know.
Plus, they may not live here. It would be a fun game for them to guess where we're from.
True. They've got to, you know.
If they didn't have some other form of context.
Look at a meteorological yes. data, just figure
this
out.
This aired 2 weeks ago. It was 50 degrees.
It was sunny then. They said sunny.
Detective work.
True. So over 15 houses, is that across multiple states, just one place? Or?
Across multiple states and multiple families.
sure.
Because my parents were divorced, so they tried to move as far away from each other as possible, but it took some time. So they had this, you know, set up camp along the way.
one house away at a time, pretty much.
Yep. So if you count every house between the two of them and then... each apartment I've lived in and each dorm I've lived in college, then I guess you get to probably 15, somewhere around there. I've counted before and I think it's like higher than 20, which is just crazy, but sure. Yeah.
Where's the best place to live that you've lived so far?
The best place was probably college because I was away from my family, and not that I don't like my family, but you know, a little autonomy, and had a car all to myself. That was nice. So that's got to be right up there for sure.
That is always lovely. If you had to pick one place to live that you haven't lived thus far, a 16th or 21st house, so to speak.
You know, my girlfriend and I are going through this right now, trying to figure out where we're living next. And we looked at Honolulu, which... Ooh. It's like a places like that I really want to live, and then you realize that the rent is like $450 a month, which you're like, that's amazing. But I think I looked at a place the other day, it was a 100 square foot house.
Oh no.
And I was like, I don't think that's even as big as our kitchen. And I'm like, our bed wouldn't even fit. It's kind of crazy. So it's like, the nicer the place, the worse the house. So I gotta find somewhere kind of in the middle.
Yeah, I had a friend live in Honolulu. He worked as a greeter at a Home Depot. He could afford literally a closet.
It's expensive.
Subletting a room in a place, and it was just a closet.
I don't know how much greeters at Home Depot get paid. I also didn't realize they had greeters at Home Depot.
You know, not very
so
many.
So it's almost like, was he really employed even?
Yeah, they gave him an apron and they're said, like, hey, we'll toss you a few coins.
Yeah, here you go.
Live.
This man needs to... survive, so we'll help them out, throw them a bone.
Right. Are you a big beach guy? Why Honolulu?
I'm definitely a big beach person. I mean, it's funny saying that because I get sunburned basically like walking from my apartment to my car, but I do love the beach. I once had a really bad experience, speaking of sunburns. I fell asleep on a beach hotel roof. There was a pool. God. It wasn't just like I was on the roof, but I fell asleep by the pool, and I think it was like over a couple hours in the like afternoon sun. And I was like almost purple afterwards. It was terrible. I had to go to the hospital. But despite that, you know, I still love the beach. It's beautiful. And I think just being in Chicago, it's cold and wet and dreary. And I want to be somewhere where it's not a cloud in the sky and warm. Even if I get skin cancer from it.
It's the pros and cons.
Yeah,
list.
You gotta weigh them. That's
no,
fine.
It's balmy and beautiful, but a little bit of melanoma here and there.
Yeah, and right now going to somewhere like Florida, the current political climate and coronavirus feels like maybe not the move, but there's beaches everywhere. You
True.
Know, it's probably somewhere else out there.
Yeah. You can find... There's beaches in Texas.
There's beaches in Texas. There's beaches
in Texas right
Canada.
Now.
but
are there?
There are coastlines in Canada. Therefore, well,
there must be a beach.
I am reasoning to guess that there are beaches there, but
yeah, I've heard so many great things about the wonderful summers of Nova Scotia.
It's tough because I hear there's warm places in Canada, but then there's like Quebec and they make like literal ice palaces there. Yeah. So I'm like, that's all technically the same country, but yeah, I don't know. So anyways, listeners, if you want to just comment on where I should live next year, that would be helpful. I need to narrow it down.
Yeah. You email us at, I actually don't know what the Tom Talks is. A Tom Talks email. I think it's tomtalksdepaul@gmail.com.
Give it a try. It'll send it back if it's wrong. Yeah.
Right? I've never gotten fan mail. I don't expect any fan mail from this. But
well, I'm on the show now, so who knows what'll happen. Right. But
if you've got insight into where Monty should live.
Don't worry. I'm not picky. It just needs to be in a city, but not too city-like. Near a beach, but not super hot. Not super crowded and not too expensive.
Right.
If you can work with that, then let me know if you've got something in mind. It needs to be perfect in every way, but I'm not unreasonable.
Right. You're looking to get into graphic design. What is your forte within that sort of space?
I say graphic design as a sort of overarching thing. I think people in the industry would say, so you do graphic design, like you design logos? And I would say, no, I don't do that. I'm sort of a liar, but really, video editing is probably the main thing I'd say I'm most competent at. And then from there, it's sort of a descending staircase of competency with like illustration, animation. It's kind of like I've dabbled in all of them. And so I think I'm capable of doing them. But what it really boils down to is I'm really good at Googling things. I hope no future employer hears me saying this, but like half the time, if I don't know something, it's just a Google search away. And
yeah,
and I know it, so that's it.
To future employers, you call that the ability to learn.
I'm a great learner. I think I had an interview like 3 days ago where I actually said that exact sentence. That I'm like, there's two types of people in this world, the people who Google things and the people who don't. And I think the people who do Google things are much better off because they're not ashamed of not knowing things. We just, you know, the internet knows more, so... Nothing wrong with that.
Right. Why be prideful? Yeah, no, I can do that. No.
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 I can't do anything. But you know what can? Google can, and that's fine. I'm man enough to admit that. So
that's totally valid. I do that with statistics stuff all the time and data insights, all of this film stuff. I don't have any Tom Cruise facts memorized. I Google it every time.
Google everything, yeah.
100%.
I don't need to use my memory at all. I mean, It's all logged on the internet.
Yeah.
But I think in all honesty, it's like with graphic design stuff in particular, there's a lot I've learned, but like people ask like, how do you learn Photoshop or things like that? And it's like, honestly, don't know if there's anyone out there who just knows everything about those. There's so much to know. So to some extent, we all kind of have to be good at Googling things because I'll do a project and over the course of a project, I'll probably Google something 30 times and stop every 5 minutes having to look something up. But in the end, you get there and you learned a lot. So I'm not ashamed.
What are your big design inspirations? Like who inspires your designs?
Wow, that's a good question. I mean, I don't know that I have a lot of people in particular. I do have some, but I think the bigger thing is like types of aesthetics that inspire me. And, you know, I look at like 1950s-esque advertisement sort of thing. I feel like a lot of the stuff I design is sort of based off of things like that. So it's not like a person in particular, it's just kind of a look. And I feel like a lot of projects I approach just having a general idea of something in mind. And then I kind of narrow it down. I'm trying to think of a good example, but of course I'm not gonna be able to think of one. But when it comes to things like video editing, I think I'm open to anything, but I think when it comes to like illustration, I'll literally just look at someone and be like, I like their art. I have no idea who this person is, but I'm gonna decide the next piece I do is gonna be similar in style to theirs. So that's kind of how I make my decisions, I guess.
That's, you know, that's a way most processes. That's the way this should be, is what I'm trying to say.
I'm not an English major, so
yeah, you're right. You know, you're an artist. We don't need grammar here.
Yeah.
We'll Google it. Well, this is Tom Talks. We should probably talk some Tom. I have a couple of questions that I ask all my guests about, okay, about Tom Cruise. How familiar would you say you are with Tom Cruise's filmography?
After knowing you, I've realized not at all. I thought I might have been more knowledgeable, but I really don't. I mean, the fact that, spoiler alert, if you've never listened to the show, but Connor actually has an idea of the number of movies that it takes to get to Tom Cruise from any other movie based off of the actors and actresses that are in it. And I am not that good. I mean, I thought I knew his general filmography, but it's clear that I do not as well as I thought I did. And the movies that I do know of Tom Cruise are not, I think, the highest, I won't say highest rated, but like, you know, nicest thought of movies. I'm talking Oblivion was like, I thought maybe the height of Tom Cruise.
Sure,
and people are like, Top Gun maybe, but I don't know. Yeah, so I think I'm a novice when it comes to Tom Cruise, probably.
I mean, you know, you've already mentioned more Tom Cruise movies than some of my guests have.
Okay.
So well, you're above a lot of people. My steps to Tom Cruise party trick is annoying, I will admit.
Oh, I don't know. But it's really actually fascinating to me because I thought I knew actors, but it made me think, like, other actors that I like, would I be able to name the steps to them? And I don't think I would.
It's tricky because doing it with Kevin Bacon is impossible. I've tried to do the original six steps of Kevin Bacon or 6 degrees
right,
of Kevin Bacon,
right.
Whatever the
and that's what you said it was based off of, right?
Yeah, but I
that's interesting.
Cannot do the initial one with Kevin Bacon. I mean, Kevin Bacon to Tom Cruise, I can get. That's one step. It's really easy. But like,
yeah,
Kevin Bacon to anyone else, unless I go through Tom Cruise, never gonna
I
get
think
there.
For me, having been a film major, I actually watch like really a staggeringly few number of movies. I just don't think I've seen that many. I mean, I'm a big film fan, but I feel like I have very specific preferences on what I watch, and so I cut myself off from a lot. I'm discovering a lot about myself in talking right now. It's like a therapy session almost. I need to watch more movies. What am I doing with my
that's
life?
That's what Tom Talks is for.
Yeah, help me work through so many things. Thank you.
but of the Tom Cruise movies you've seen, what would your favorite be? Oblivion, or what is your favorite?
Well, I was telling you before we jumped on here that, like, Tropic Thunder is hilarious. It's one of those movies I'm like, I know it's a terrible movie. And not just because it's a, I don't think it's necessarily even a poorly made movie, but it's almost made to look like it is one. But it's just an enjoyable one for me. But I think Oblivion's probably one of those that, like, balance, like, I care about it enough because it's sci-fi and that's kind of interesting to me. And, like, there's sort of an interesting twist. It also ends with an amazing line, but I won't give that away. But that probably is my favorite. I'm trying to think what Tom Cruise movies I've even seen. I don't think Magnolia, unfortunately, is at the top of my list.
We know Magnolia is not at the top of anyone's list.
I don't know if that's
really
up there. Top Gun's good, but I don't think I've seen Top Gun recently enough to really do it justice to speak to it. Oh, of course, Mission Impossible, but I think that's a series which sort of dilutes any one movie in the series. So I think Oblivion's probably the one. Like, if I had to just pick a Tom Cruise movie to watch for enjoyment, that would probably be it.
Yeah, that is one of his, that's one of his stand, I call him the standalone sci-fi films, because he's got a few just really
what's
top
the other, what's the one with, is it Emily Blunt? Is that?
Edge of Tomorrow.
Edge of Tomorrow,
that's,
right.
You know, his sci-fi take on Groundhog Day.
I kind of want to watch that next, actually, because I saw some, I follow this like film account on Instagram and it was like raving about that movie.
It is, that one is actually of his recent stuff, like of his last 10 movies, I would say Edge of Tomorrow is my favorite like standalone movie, right? Because the Mission Impossible Fallout is a phenomenal film all around. So it's going to be hard to beat that in my mind, but Edge of Tomorrow is so good. It's just a really interesting take on the Groundhog Day, you know, live, die, repeat sort of mantra.
How many movies are in the Mission Impossible series? Is it six
or seven? It's six right now. They're making seven and eight presently.
Because I remember when like Mission Impossible 3 came out, I was like never really into those movies as a kid. Not that I don't know if a lot of kids are, but I was like, I remember seeing Mission Impossible 3, but I swear I was like, had to be like 7 years old or something like that. So it just feels like it's been on forever.
Yeah, Mission Impossible 3 is definitely, that's one that I go back to because of Philip Seymour Hoffman. I just like Philip Seymour Hoffman.
All I remember about that movie is the woman who had a bomb in her head, right?
Yeah,
and
that's
she,
that
like,
one.
Her face like deflates, which is really, this is why I remember I watched it as a kid, because I was like traumatized after seeing
right.
it.
Yeah, and like the like nuclear device in that movie is called the Rabbit's Foot.
That's right.
I always thought that was so weird. I was like, you know.
No, I do remember. I think because I think Tom Cruise gets one in his head, right? And they have to electrocute him.
Yeah.
So he has to like chew on a piece of plywood or something like that, so he doesn't bite his tongue.
Yep. And they just shock him. It's great.
That's how bombs work.
Exactly.
electrocute me. Let's
right, yeah.
go.
Gets the only way.
Just a pair of jumper cables.
Right. I like that one. I really like that movie because they introduced Benji as a character into the series. Simon Pegg's character, who's then in the next four movies, basically. And he just brings so much. He brings the like dorkiness to Mission Impossible that it needed.
Is it Fallout, the one with Henry Cavill?
Yeah.
With like the mustache?
Yeah.
I don't know. For some reason, I want to watch that just because I'm like, after seeing him in Superman roles, where I thought, great.
Yeah, he wasn't great as.
But
Superman.
That's not his fault. That's the writing's fault. But I think I kind of wanted to see it because, like, him as a villain was sort of an interesting idea. I was like, he's like supposed to be the consummate hero guy. Like, if Captain America, Chris Evans was a villain or something,
right?
Maybe that should be on my list then.
That one is definitely worth it. Like of his later two. Or of his later movies, I would recommend to you for sure Edge of Tomorrow and Mission Impossible Fallout over Rogue Nation or Ghost Protocol. Those are fine, but Fallout,
yeah, that's right.
Villain's great. Alec Baldwin's great in it. it brings back some old characters that you forgot about. It's just
that
it's
I didn't
a good
know
movie
about in the first place because
well,
I haven't seen them.
If you made it to the third one, you know about them. That's,
okay,
that's the
I gotta rewatch it because yeah.
You
knowing
know,
that he gets electrocuted and that a woman's face deflates, that's not enough to go off of, I don't think. But that's okay.
True. the next thing is something I ask all the guests on my show. What is the most Tom Cruise thing that you have ever done?
I guess I have to start asking, what is a Tom Cruise thing? And
you know, that
what comes to mind when I think Tom Cruise?
People have talked about car chases or boat chases or jumping on their friends' couches. That's been a big one. Getting really into cults.
Giving a sex cult talk.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, that has not been one of them, I'm sad to say. But I think for me, and sort of to bring it to Tropic Thunder in particular, Rex Grossman's character doing the dance scene, the most Tom Cruise thing I've done, I would love to say I've been in a car chase and, you know, have done all that. But I think it's probably just jamming, like just going, what does he dance to again in that? He dances to, it's
know.
Like Ludacris or something, right? Like,
yeah, it's, the, I think it's like the Apple Bottom Jeans.
Oh, he's
maybe.
Is he dancing to low?
It
I
might
don't remember
low.
What it is.
I can, let me look real quick.
Whatever it is, I've definitely done that just in the bathroom after a shower, like, but I don't remember what it is.
Just the
I'll help you look.
Big hands and I want to dance mentality.
<That's all> I
right?
I keep saying Rex Grossman, who is a football player. What is his name?
Is it Les Grossman?
<It's> Les Grossman.
I think it is Low.
Oh,
I think it is.
Okay.
Because that was the first one that came up on IMDb's soundtrack page. And that might actually be the song that I play, because I play a song in each episode. And I think I'd rather play Low than Buffalo Springfield's for what it's worth, because why would I want that?
Yeah, I'm seeing Ludacris, but I need to know now.
It could also be MC Hammer, looking at this. Or Brick House, you know, Lionel Richie, David Way.
He does say, I want fat hands and I'm going to dance. That's what it was. Why fat hands? I'm just curious, but... He does have fat hands.
He really does.
He really does.
Because like the prosthetic, the hair piece mixed with the prosthetic belly, that would have been enough for me.
That would have been good.
But the
gotta
hands.
Have the hands. Yeah, he danced to Get Back by Ludacris.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, and I haven't danced to that particular song, but the energy conveying in that scene is definitely something I can get behind. He just does it with a lot more charisma, I think.
I like that answer.
Also, don't know if this is a thing he is that's real. Is him on, like, Dancing with the Stars as Les Grossman?
I don't think he's been on... Has he been on Dancing with the Stars?
I don't know if
it's
Dancing with the Stars or if this is actually from the movie, maybe. Like, is there a after credit scene or something where he's dancing on stage with someone?
I think he did that at an awards show.
Oh, yeah, MTV Movie Awards with Jennifer Lopez. And she's spanking him. That's really disturbing. I wish I...
Please, viewers at home, be advised. Don't Google...
Don't Google Les Grossman dancing with Jennifer Lopez on stage.
The last Tom Cruise question that I ask of the basic interview before we get to the game and fun stuff is less of a question. It's more of a test. I give all of my guests 1 minute to say anything that you could ever want to say to Tom Cruise. So you have 1 minute to leave a message.
Okay.
When the show is all done, I'm going to supercut all of those minutes together and somehow get 43 minutes of messages to Tom, like, just to him somehow.
Tom, I need to know something.
Right? So this is your minute direct to Tom. You can ask him questions, tell him jokes, whatever you want. Your time to Tom starts now.
Tom, Magnolia, what the hell was that? I mean, honestly, you need to explain yourself. I need to know. Like, everything, the hair... Everything was disturbing. I have to give you credit at least because, like, everything about that movie was pretty evenly disturbing to me. But the hair, the subject matter, the way you acted, like, I guess there's not another movie. I have to give it credit because there's not another movie I walked away and was just like, what did I just watch? I mean, there's movies I've been confused on, and then there's movies that I was straight up like that made an impression on me in a negative way. And I think that was one of them. So that's probably where I'll start. I guess the other thing I would ask in all seriousness is just, do you like Oblivion? Because, you know, I tell Connor I like Oblivion, he rolls his eyes, but I thought it was pretty good, you know? I mean, but maybe I'm not a connoisseur, so I'd be interested to know what you think about that. Wears a lot of baseball hats. He's got a good head for that, so.
Yeah, he does have a good baseball head. I wish he had a baseball movie. I mean, because Oblivion's a fine movie, but I like the one that he did immediately after it, just... better.
Which one?
Edge of Tomorrow. Because they're you know,
kind of similar.
Similar sci-fi, similar budget levels, similarly top quality casts. It just came down to execution. And I really just wanted more Morgan Freeman. That's my main thing with Oblivion. I love Morgan Freeman.
He was good in that,
He was great in it, but he had like 5 minutes on screen. Wanted more.
You asked earlier what's the most Tom Cruise thing I've done, and this isn't a Tom Cruise thing I've done, but I hadn't considered this as the like Tom Cruise smile, and I don't know if there's like a metric for like, but he has, I feel like the smile that he does in every movie that's exactly the same, and it's not just like him smiling, it's like this really big like cheesiness smile.
Yeah,
because I can think of like Oblivion, I'm pretty sure he does it like in the very last scene. I don't want to spoil too much, but like, you know, he's coming over the hill and sees his wife or whatever, and he does this like really big smile. And then he does it too in like A Few Good Men, and
he definitely does it in Jerry Maguire.
He definitely does it in Magnolia.
Oh yeah. Because
he's creepy.
He's very self-conscious of his teeth, is one, like, he loves his teeth because he got them fixed.
Well, that's, so he's showing them off. And that's I can appreciate that. Respect. Yeah. But that's something I was like, what's something he does in every movie? That's something he does in every movie I've seen.
Yeah, he's just got
a like super blatant smile.
He's got 3 or 4 movies where he didn't have his teeth fixed, and then he got his teeth fixed, and then he started getting leading man roles. Like, literally, like, the first 3 movies of his career, he's like a side character.
It's the moneymaker. He's got to get it.
And then immediately gets him fixed, gets leading roles where, you know, he's the suave gentleman and not the, you know.
That's all it is.
The shirtless guy on a bicycle who suggests arson, which is his, like, first 3 movies, that's his character.
That seems so specific.
It's a very specific character, but I'm pretty sure in all 3 of them, he's shirtless at some point or on a bicycle and or suggests they commit arson.
This is absolutely necessary for the plot of this movie that we have this character in it.
Right? It's the same kid.
Same guy. It's like an Easter egg.
He's like 12 years old or whatever, but, you know.
Yeah.
Well... we're going to go ahead. We're going to go into a commercial break. And when we come back from the commercial break, we are going to play a game of celebrity match game. not how you think. So stay okay. tuned after this.
This is Tom Skerritt for the Borgen Project. Each year, nearly 2 million children die from preventable diseases. Each day, 30,000 people die from hunger. 500 each hour are children. The Borgen Project is turning this around. We need your help. To learn more, go to borgenproject.org. That's B-O-R-G-E-N project.org.
Biking in Chicago is more than just a mode of transportation. It's a lifestyle. It's convenient, affordable, and with 13,000 bike racks, parking is never a problem. But with every reward comes a sidecar of risk. In Chicago, over 1,700 cyclists a year are killed or injured in bike accidents involving motor vehicles. Bike safety is simple. First, become familiar with Chicago bike laws. Know your hand signals and when to use them. Love your brain. Get a bike helmet that fits your noggin and deck it out with a headlamp and some reflective gear for riding at night. Bike at least 3 to 4 feet away from parked cars to avoid being struck by a car door being open. Motorists can do their part too by checking their side view mirrors for bike traffic before exiting their vehicle. Most importantly, remember that we're sharing the road. Looking out for both ourselves and each other is the only way to keep Chicago's roads safe, no matter what your wheels look like. For more information on bike safety in Chicago, visit www.chicagobikes.org. This public service announcement was brought to you by Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection.
Hello and welcome back. You're listening to Radio DePaul. I'm Connor Mudd. This is Tom Talks. I'm here with Monty Westendorf, and we're going to play Celebrity Match Game. For those of you at home who know what Celebrity Match Game is, this is not that. This, in fact, is a different game where I've taken members of the cast of Tropic Thunder, a movie with a notoriously phenomenal cast, about a movie with a notoriously phenomenal cast, and I have found some of their most obscure acting credits where their castmates were not also in that acting credit. And I have cut them on a little sheets of paper. And Monty, you're going to have to try and match the actor to their obscure acting credit. Some of these are kids' Ooh. Movies or kids' shows. Some of these are just weird movies. So I'll read for you now the actors who are here. We have Bill Hader, Robert Downey Jr., Tyra Banks, Matthew McConaughey, Tobey Maguire, Lance Bass, Ben Stiller, Jack Black, and Tom Cruise. And then the list of movies, TV shows, acting credits that they have is Phineas and Ferb, The Shaggy Dog,
oh my gosh.
Men in Black 3, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Sing, Boss Baby, Handy Manny, iCarly, and The Outsiders.
Which one of these people is on iCarly? Are you kidding me?
Right? I've done the research. It's one person for each acting credit.
Okay.
So, yep, one of these people has been in Phineas and Ferb. one of these people.
Oh my gosh. Who's been in Boss Baby? I have seen Boss Baby. And I'm trying to figure that out, but.
I think the person who's in Boss Baby plays like the grown-up version of the kid from.
Because this is the trouble with the animated ones, because I don't know whose voices are, you know. Okay, well, are we ready? Do I have a time limit or anything?
There's no time limit. Talk us through what you're thinking.
Okay, so let me start off. Let me see what we've got. Okay, so I'm looking at ones I do know and ones I don't. So here's the thing. I know this is a crime against humanity, but I've actually never seen The Outsiders.
Sure.
iCarly is not animated, so in theory that should be easier because I can see their face. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Handy Manny, man.
Handy Manny, you know, is a curveball.
That's really a tough one. I really can't think of any because like these are all fairly popular, and then I get to Handy Manny. I'm like, I have seen Handy Manny, but I'm just wondering which one of these people actually decided to take a paycheck from.
Right,
Disney Jam. What is Handy Manny even?
I honestly could not tell you. It's the response to Bob the Builder.
Right. The Shaggy Dog. I don't even know that I've heard of that before. So that's going to be interesting. Okay.
It's the one where Tim Allen turns into a dog.
Oh, that's what that's called?
Yeah, it's called The Shaggy Dog.
It's just called The Shaggy Dog? It's I thought it was called something
nope.
Something more creative. Okay.
No, it's just, okay. It's simply The Shaggy Dog.
But I haven't seen that one. So who would be in that?
Okay. And so... I will tell you, the person who was in The Shaggy Dog played the villain of The Shaggy Dog. So if you can remember the villain of The Shaggy Dog. Deep cuts.
The villain. Okay. Well, I'm going to go through the people who I think I would, you know, at least recognize in something. Men in Black 3, I don't know if I've even seen. Actually, yes, I have. That's the one where they're on, like, the, like, hamster wheel bike things, right?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Are you going to tell me after I get each one whether it's correct, or are you going to tell me at the end? Or...
You know, I think I'll tell you intermittently.
Okay.
So if you... I'll let you formulate your first guess, and then I'll pick out which ones are correct.
Well, you'll be happy to know none of them immediately trigger anything.
Good.
So if you're wondering if these are really obscure, they are, for sure. never thought I'd have all actors I would know and all shows I would know, but have no idea which how they mesh. But, okay, I'm going to go with... I could see Jack Black being in iCarly. You know, you got Kung Fu Panda... Probably around the same time.
Right. A few Nickelodeon connections.
Right. He's a funny guy. Kids like him. I could see something working in there. Plus, Jack Black is great, but he's a little bit waste. Like, Kung Fu Panda was great, but just having his voice is only half of it. If you actually have him on the show, like, that's amazing. So I feel like he'd have to be in a not animated thing, but that's where I'm starting. So I'm going to say Jack Black, iCarly. I don't think Jack Black was in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
No, that'd be a really strange
episode.
That
would be very strange. I feel like that's way before he was actually Jack Black, and so that would be really bizarre. Okay, who else do I have on here? I'm not going to lie, I don't really know Lance Bass in the slightest.
I think he's a boy band guy.
Okay.
I believe. I think he's an NSYNC.
Can I use my phone to look up just his name?
Yeah.
So I need an age like reference or something like that.
Yeah.
Because I have no idea.
I think he's in either the Backstreet Boys or NSYNC, or he was.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, he was in NSYNC, but he was not Justin Timberlake, so I don't know him. Okay, great. I don't get the overwhelming impression he was in Handy Manny. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, maybe. I'm going to say, because it was in the 90s, NSYNC was popular.
Okay.
I could... make the argument The Outsiders could also, I think, timeline-wise work maybe with that a little bit.
Yeah, Outsiders, I think, was 83?
Okay, well, so maybe a little too early, potentially. And he is a singer in NSYNC, so Sing could potentially work. I know they had Scarlett Johansson and others.
Yeah, Nick Offerman was in that one.
Yeah, Nick Offerman, right.
A lot of these are, at least the movies here, are movies with notoriously great casts that I've tried to pick. Like, casts that have a bunch of big name A-list actors.
Right, exactly. Like, Men in Black, I'm like, well, Will Smith is not an option on this.
Right.
Neither for Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah.
Although Handy Manny has a great cast.
Handy Manny has a surprisingly good cast. Wow. It has some of the, like, the royalty of the voice acting world.
Okay. Okay. All right. I'm going to need to make some big moves here. Okay. So I got Jack Black, iCarly, Lance Bass, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I don't know. Okay. Which of these people I think can sing? I'm going to say probably not Tobey Maguire. Probably not Bill Hader. Although, I don't know. Ben Stiller, I have this weird impression like he's in Sing for some reason. I don't really think he is, but... And this is the problem. I think everyone has been in The Outsiders, but I've never seen it. So I just don't know.
That is pretty much everyone has been in The Outsiders.
And that's the thing. I'm like, feel like that's really should be obvious to someone who's seen it. Because I think a lot of people in The Outsiders got their famous actors now or children in that, right?
That was their big break. Like Rob Lowe,
right?
Patrick Swayze.
And I think that's what I'm thinking. So I'm like, could be any of these people, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Robert Downey Jr. This is the interesting one because he is one of my favorite actors, but I'm like, which if he's in Handy Manny, that's gonna be hilarious. But okay, let's take Tom Cruise. Oh man, Phineas and Ferb probably was like it was a joke. Like, one of these people was playing themselves, is my guess, in Phineas and Ferb. I think that's the route I would take. The Shaggy Dog. Okay, Tim Allen. Who would be a good foil to Tim Allen?
Right. And it's human Tim Allen, because animated Tim exactly. Allen's generally animated much differently, but human Tim Allen
yes, he's kind of like dopey and
yeah, like almost going through a divorce.
Right. He's a little bit Nicolas Cagey almost. Yeah. Okay, so who do I think would be? I think I would have remembered if it was RDJ, but I don't think it was Matthew McConaughey. Bill Hader could certainly be it.
I forgot that Matthew McConaughey was on this list.
Which is funny, because he's also one of the actors I really like, but I guess I'll go with, you know, I'm not going to say Tom Cruise because I've never heard you say Tom Cruise's Shaggy Dog movie.
Valid, sure.
So I think Bill Hader is probably who I'm going to go with.
Okay.
I don't think Tyra Banks was the villain of the Shaggy Dog. But
don't get me wrong. I'd pay to see it.
I could be wrong.
I think your instincts are right that okay. Tyra Banks is not in Shaggy Dog.
We're down to 5 in the hardest test I've ever completed in my life. I did IB in high school, and this is harder. Okay, Phineas and Ferb, Boss Baby, The Outsiders, Men in Black 3, and Handy Manny are who I have left. Oh, man. Okay, I'm just going to start taking wide swaths out of this. So Men in Black 3, I'm going to say Tyra Banks. I haven't seen it, but she's big enough that I could see her being in it. But, you know, these other actors, I think I follow more closely. And I didn't think they were in it. So that's sure. where I'm going with that. Tobey Maguire, I don't think was in The Outsiders, because if that was in the 80s, Toby's, I don't know how old he is, but I don't think he's, I think he's on the younger side of these other actors.
Yeah, for sure.
Boss Baby.
Toby's like 35 right now, 36.
Okay, yeah, so that would make sense. Then I would go with probably, it's Robert Downey Jr. in The Outsiders. No, I just don't know. But I'm going to say yes, only because I have no other ideas. And I've seen Boss Baby, and I think I would have recognized if he was in it.
Sure.
Handy Manny. Oh, my God. It would kill me to know that Matthew McConaughey was in Handy Manny. But Tom Cruise, I'm going to go with Boss Baby, because I think you would have told me if he was in Handy Manny, or for sure if he was in Phineas and Ferb.
Yeah, I am a big Phineas and Ferb fan.
Yes, Matthew McConaughey has got the voice for Phineas and Ferb, and Tobey Maguire does not. So I would say, and Handy Manny in my mind is probably lower budget than Phineas and Ferb. So I'm going to put Tobey Maguire sure. in Handy Manny.
If I told you you got one of those correct, you got one of them correct. Which one do you think is 100% your correct one?
Man. Well, it's probably one of these three, the Jack Black and iCarly, the Ben Stiller and Sing, or the Bill Hader in the Shaggy Dog. The other ones were just literally total crapshoots. I had no idea.
You did get Jack Black and iCarly correct.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Fantastic.
That is right.
Okay. Feel very good about this.
What I will do to help you, I'll take out the two hardest ones that also go together. Handy Manny is Lance Bass.
Great. Never would have gotten that, but I probably could have gotten it, only because I wouldn't have known who else to put in Handy Manny.
Right.
But okay. So if I take that information, the rest of this is completely wrong.
The rest
but that's
of it,
fine.
The rest of it is wrong. You had you were close on a lot of things, but you're misremembering some stuff from.
Yeah, and that's the trouble. All of these movies are movies if I've seen them at all, I've seen them like one time ever. Or not at all. And then like Phineas and Ferb, I'm like, well, that was on for like 12 seasons or
right.
something. I mean, isn't it still? I don't.
The episode that this person was on was the Beak episode. He played the villain to Phineas and Ferb's The Beak, if that helps.
Is that a person?
Is it a superhero? Yeah. Phineas and Ferb built a superhero suit. Ferb operated the legs. Phineas operated the torso.
Who would be an enemy in Phineas and Ferb? Okay, it's not Matthew McConaughey. I guess it's too it's too serious. I don't think Bill Hader. I guess maybe. I'm trying to think who's got a good voice for animated television. And kind of all these people.
Yeah, they all have some brief career in animated TV.
Do you think we could do this? Like, I could just start not necessarily putting everybody on Phineas and Ferb until you tell me that
you,
I'm right.
You could, but,
I would like to.
I think you can get it quicker than that.
Okay. I have no idea, but I'm.
The character name is Kaka Poo Poo.
I'm going to go with Ben Stiller then.
It's Ben Stiller. Okay, fantastic. I'm glad Kaka Poo Poo really gave really it away. Did it for me. Yeah.
I'm going to go with Matthew McConaughey for Sing.
That is correct. He plays one of the main characters.
I was going to say, I have this weird sense that he was in it. Who does he play?
Oh, God.
I mean, I haven't seen it in a long time.
I think it's like the main guy.
It's like the.
It's like him and Reese Witherspoon are the leads in that movie.
Yeah, I had a sense that he was in that for some reason.
Buster Moon.
Oh, right.
The character name.
Fantastic.
Let me look at what, if I tell you what animal he is.
Oh, he's like a koala, right? Yeah, okay. Yeah. I think I knew that deep down somewhere in my brain.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we've got Tom Cruise is not in Boss Baby, evidently.
I wish. That'd be great. Alec Baldwin's in Boss Baby.
It's The Outsiders. That's the one that keeps throwing me off because I haven't seen it. It's like famous and everyone's been in it, but I don't know who.
It's like the one serious movie on this so list.
Tom Cruise, The Outsiders?
Yeah. That's really? Where Tom Cruise got his start. Okay. Him, Rob Lowe, Emilio Estevez, and that whole gang.
Okay. I don't think Robert Downey Jr. was in Boss Baby. Could be wrong. I don't think he was in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Did I put Tobey Maguire in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
You know, you might have.
Did I do that by accident?
No, you had Lance Bass in Fresh Prince. Right. And you had Tobey Maguire and Handy Manny.
Men in Black 3, I don't think it was Tobey Maguire. So I'll do Bill Hader and Boss Baby.
That is not correct. I will tell you, the Men in Black 3, the person here plays Andy Warhol. Because I think there's time traveling in Men in Black 3, and they go back in time and meet Andy Warhol, and the actor on this list plays Andy Warhol in Men in Black 3.
Is it Robert Downey Jr.?
No, I would cast Robert Downey Jr. as Andy Warhol.
Then I guess Tobey Maguire. Yeah, that's all I have left, right? Tyra Banks? I've got three?
You have four actors, movies left. Of those four.
I mean, I don't think Tyra Banks played Andy Warhol.
No, Tyra Banks did not play Andy Warhol.
Didn't seem like that was the right casting choice, but okay. Is Bill Hader Men in Black 3?
Bill Hader played Andy Warhol in Men in Black 3.
What range.
Right? You know?
Amazing. Okay.
Three more. You've got Boss Baby, okay. Fresh Prince, Shaggy Dog.
And I could see Tyra Banks in the Shaggy Dog. No, I can't. I could see Tyra Banks in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air for sure.
Yes, 100%.
Okay, as a young Tyra Banks.
Yeah, she had like a 10-episode arc, actually.
Okay.
I think possibly as one of Will Smith's girlfriends. I haven't seen the show. I don't know.
I'm going to be so happy to hear this, but is Robert Downey Jr. in Boss Baby?
No, I wish.
He's in Shaggy Dog?
He is the villain of Shaggy Dog.
Is he really?
Yeah, that was like right before he went to jail, I think. It was like right before he needed rehab. He was in the Shaggy Dog.
2006, the Shaggy Dog. That's a terrifying poster.
It is the worst film poster of all time.
A dog with very human-looking eyes.
It does have some of my favorite music, like original music made for the movie. There's just a ton of awesome dog-themed rap that I highly recommend. Yeah, a lot of that, and then a lot of like original content. Like
the Shaggy Dog, I need to Google images because I need to see what Robert Downey Jr. looks like in this movie.
He looks terrifying. I think he becomes like a frog or something at the end.
I must not remember this movie whatsoever. Now, there are older Shaggy Dog movies.
Really?
Yeah, like there's multiple. They aren't all the person turns into a dog. Yeah, I see a Shaggy Dog interview with Robert Downey Jr. Wow. Yeah, I can't believe that took me that long. And then Tobey Maguire's in Boss Baby.
Yeah, he is. He's the narrator of Boss Baby. But yeah, this has been a Celebrity Match Game on Tom Talks.
I did so poorly the first round, but you picked it up from there. That's okay.
Yeah, you got there. I think that this was designed to trip you up a little bit. This was designed to throw some curveballs.
This was a good game. I'm not again, having been a film major, I know surprisingly little about which actors are in what things, but
that's not what being a film major is. Being a film major is about making films.
You're right, not knowing anything about any of them.
Yeah. But yeah, all these people were in one movie together, and that movie's Tropic Thunder. And I'll talk about Tropic Thunder after a break. Thank you for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. Yeah. Great movie. You should watch it for sure.
Oh, yeah. Stay tuned after this.
Hello and welcome back. You're listening to Radio DePaul. I'm Connor Mudd. This is Tom Talks, and that was Low by Flo Rida featuring T-Pain. It's a song featured in the movie Tropic Thunder as a ringtone of all things. Tropic Thunder is a weird movie like that. It's got all sorts of fun little tiny things here or there that make the movie exactly what it is. And with that, we're going to go into a synopsis, fast facts, fun facts, and a data breakdown. Starting with the synopsis, the movie starts where a hook-handed Vietnam veteran Staff Sergeant John Four-Leaf Tabak's memoir, Tropic Thunder, is being made into a film. With the exception of the newcomer, supporting actor Kevin Sandusky, the cast features a fading action hero, Tug Speedman, five-time Academy Award-winning Australian method actor Kirk Lazarus, rapper Al Pacino, and drug-addicted comedian Jeff Portnoy. All of them cause problems for director Damien Cockburn, who cannot control them, resulting in a million-dollar pyrotechnic scene being wasted. The project is months behind schedule. Studio executive Les Grossman orders Damien to get the cast under control or risk the project's cancellation. On Four-Leaf's advice, Damien drops the actors into the middle of the jungle with hidden cameras and rigged special effects explosions to film guerrilla style. The actors have guns that fire blanks, along with a map and scene listing that will lead to a helicopter waiting at the end of the route. Unknown to the actors and production, the group have been dropped in the middle of the Golden Triangle, the home of the heroin-producing Flaming Dragon Gang. Just as the group is about to set off, Damien inadvertently steps on an old landmine and is blown up, stunning the actors. Tug, believing Damien faked his death to encourage the cast to give better performances, assures the others that Damien is still alive and that they are still shooting the film. Kirk is unconvinced, but joins them in their trek through the jungle. When Four-Leaf and pyrotechnics operator Cody Underwood try to locate the deceased director, they are captured by Flaming Dragon. Four-Leaf is revealed to have hands, and he confesses to Underwood that he actually served in the Coast Guard and has never left the United States, and that he wrote his memoir as a tribute. The actors continue through the jungle. Kirk and Kevin discover that Tug is leading them in the wrong direction. The argument results in Kirk leading the rest of the cast back towards the resort where they're staying as an increasingly delirious Tug is captured by Flaming Dragon. Taken to their base, Tug believes it is a POW camp from the script. The gang discovers that he's a star of their favorite film, the box office bomb Simple Jack, and force him to reenact it several times a day. Meanwhile, in Los Angeles, Tug's agent Rick Pecker Peck confronts Les over an unfulfilled term in Tug's contract that entitles him to a TiVo. Flaming Dragon calls during the discussion and demands a ransom for Tug, but Les instead delivers a profanity-laden death threat. Les is uninterested in rescuing Tug and is instead delighted at the prospect of a large insurance payout if Tug dies. He attempts to convince Pecker to play along by promising a Gulfstream 5 jet and lots of money. Kirk, Alpa, Jeff, and Kevin discover Flaming Dragon's heroin factory. After witnessing Tug being tortured, they plan a rescue attempt based on the film's script. Kirk impersonates a farmer, towing a captured Jeff on the back of a water buffalo, distracting the armed guards so Alpa and Kevin can infiltrate and find the prisoners. But a combination of broken Chinese and inconsistencies in his story sets off the gang's boss. The actors, knowing their cover has been blown, begin firing, fooling gang members into surrender. Their control of the gang falls apart when Jeff grabs the leader and heads for the drugs, and the gang, realizing the guns fire blanks, recover their guns and fight back. The four actors locate Four-Leaf, Cody, and Tug and cross a bridge rigged to explode to get to Underwood's helicopter. Tug initially remains behind, believing Flaming Dragon to be his family, but runs back screaming, chased by an angry horde. Four-Leaf destroys the bridge, rescuing Tug, but as the helicopter takes off, the gang boss fires a rocket-propelled grenade at the helicopter. Rick unexpectedly stumbles out of the jungle and saves them by throwing a TiVo box into the path of the grenade. The crew return to Hollywood, and footage from the hidden cameras is compiled into the feature film Tropic Blunder, which becomes a major critical and commercial success.
the film wins Tug his first Academy Award, which Kirk presents to him at the ceremony. So that's a weird one. It's as far as Tom Cruise movies go, this is one where Tom Cruise kind of plays a background role, kind of a villain almost. You expect him to be in the like the action role, you know, kind of deep in all of this fun international Vietnam, you know, action sequences. But no, he plays Les Grossman, the agent. And as I mentioned earlier, his character has these big prosthetic hands and a kind of a fat suit, and he's bald. So it's a really different role than what he generally plays, and it works. It works so well. He initially, when the role was brought to him, he said, you know, I'll do it so long as I have fat hands and I want to dance. So they gave him fat prosthetic hands and he danced. And we talked a little earlier about his performance with J-Lo at the MTV Movie Awards. Let's get into some fast facts. This movie is written, directed, and starring Ben Stiller, who you may know from Zoolander, Walter Mitty, Night at the Museum, Dodgeball. You know, Ben Stiller, pretty top-tier, big-name actor. It's also written by Justin Theroux and Ethan Coen. Justin Theroux also helped write Iron Man 2 and Rock of Ages, and Ethan Coen wrote Men in Black 3, Madagascar, Escape to Africa, and the Timon and Pumbaa series. He wrote like 8 episodes of that. So, you know, really stellar writers there. The cast, Kirk Lazarus is played by Robert Downey Jr. You know, Sherlock Holmes, Iron Man. I don't actually really need to tell you the acting credits of some of these major people, so I'll save the acting credit stuff for the minor people. Jeff Portnoy is played by Jack Black. Kevin Sandusky is played by Jay Baruchel, who is a big name actor but is less recognizable. You'd know him from How to Train Your Dragon or This Is the End or The Sorcerer's Apprentice. Al Pacino is played by Brandon T. Jackson from the Percy Jackson series. He played Grover. He's also in BoJack Horseman and 8 Mile. Damian Cockburn is played by Steve Coogan from Philomania and Despicable Me 3 and Around the World in 80 Days. Fairly popular British actor. Cody is played by Danny McBride from Pineapple Express, This Is the End, Angry Birds, Hot Rod, etc., etc. Rob Solom is played by Bill Hader, who we mentioned earlier in our game. But I always like to shout out that he was in Power Rangers. People don't remember that he plays Alpha in Power Rangers, the new one, the Nick Saban's Power Rangers that they made in the last couple of years. He's phenomenal. He's also in Scott Pilgrim versus the World. He's a voice actor for that one. Four Leaf Tayback is played by Nick Nolte from Warrior and Affliction. Rick Peck is Matthew McConaughey. Do I even need to explain Matthew McConaughey? And Peck's assistant is played by Yvette Nicole Brown, who you might know from Community, Lady and the Tramp, Drake and Josh. She's a phenomenal actress. Also featured in this movie in various little cameo scenes are Alicia Silverstone, Lance Bass, Jason Bateman, John Voight, Tyra Banks, and Tobey Maguire. So a really excellent cast all around. And that's kind of the biggest fun fact for this one is this is arguably one of the best cast movies that Tom Cruise has been in. And we're talking about Tom Cruise here, who has been in movies with everyone from Gwyneth Paltrow and Cameron Diaz to Jack Nicholson. He was in a movie with Emilio Estevez and Patrick Swayze at the same time. Like, so considering that, that's kind of the big cultural relevance of this film is the stellar cast that they were able to swing for it. On the other hand, it's pretty insensitive on the whole. A lot of the jokes are racially charged. Robert Downey Jr. is in blackface the whole time. It's kind of a messed up movie on the whole, and it could not get made today. There's actually a Watch Mojo video on the 10 jokes from this movie that would make it so it couldn't possibly get greenlit today because of new standards in filmmaking. Let's go into a little bit of a data breakdown. As you know, I rate all of my movies on enjoyment, engagement, quality, iconography, and the Tom Cruise factor. you know, enjoyment and iconography are both kind of meh. The engagement with this movie was a little higher. The quality is not great. And Tom Cruise isn't super Tom Cruise-y in this. He's covered in prosthetics, so you can hardly tell that it's him. And he's not involved in any of the action. Of course, he's doing more in this movie than he is in Lions for Lambs, so it is a higher Tom Cruise factor than that. But on the whole, you know, not a great movie. I wouldn't recommend this to anyone, really. A total score of 58 out of 100. Yeah, yeah. There's not much else to be said about Tropic Thunder. If you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. And I just kind of don't. But that's just about all the time that we have for today. Tune in next week for our Valkyrie episode, where I talk about all the times that Tom Cruise tries to kill Hitler. And as always, stay gold, Pony Boy.